This episode is brought to you by Pure Gym. A new season's right round the corner, and with Pure Gym, you'll be ready to take it on. Whether you're there to tone up, tune out, or just take some weight off your shoulders. With low monthly prices, no contract, plus top quality kit and unlimited classes included, whatever you need, Pure Gym is there for it. Head to puregym.com to find out more.
Hey everyone, I'm Dan Bova, writer and editor at entrepreneur.com, and welcome to another snack-sized edition of our show, How Success Happens, where every week I'm digging into the archives and giving you a quick hit of inspiration from one of the incredible people we talk to on this show every week. So, you know, summer here in New York City is just about over, but damn it, I'm not done. I'm not ready. I want to hop in my convertible, if I had one, and let my hair blow in the breeze, if I had any hair, and just rock out. Well, rocking out, that I can do, which is why on this episode, I decided to go back in time to the time I chatted with Frank Ferrana, better known as Nikki Sixx, the primary songwriter and bassist for Motley Crue. Hell yeah. At the time, Nikki had just released a new memoir called The First 21, How I Became Nikki Sixx, which tells his incredible life story and also gives tips on how you too can pursue your dreams and hopefully avoid the dangers of excess. Now, this is a guy who stood on stage with a flame-throwing bass guitar. So he knows of danger and he knows of excess, and he's still standing, so I think he's got some great advice. Now, for those who didn't grow up in the 80s and 90s, it'll take me a few hours here to properly describe Motley Crue, but just know that they sold over 100 million albums worldwide, and they were pretty much the soundtrack to a lot of bad behavior. None committed by me, just other people. So I asked Nikki how he, guitarist Mick Mars, drummer Tommy Lee, and singer Vince Neil found each other, and how they went on to define heavy hairband metal. Like a lot of founders' stories, theirs involves a lot of hard work, a lot of stubbornness to stick what they wanted to do when people were telling them to do something else, and he says, yeah, some luck.
I played in a lot of bands, and I had a lot of bands that had good players and maybe interesting pieces, but there was something missing.
Yeah.
Something missing. And I guess I had, my standard was so high that it was easy for me to not, to quit these bands.
Yeah.
To leave. And as I went, I kept getting better, better, better until before Motley Crue, this band, London, singer Nigel Benjamin, Lizzie Gray, Dave Rage, John St. John, we had become the biggest band in Los Angeles, but we couldn't get a record deal because I didn't believe in following trends. I believed in following my heart, and I loved Aerosmith and AC/DC, the Sex Pistols, the Ramones. I wasn't going to try to be the Knack. I didn't want to be the Plimsolls. I wasn't even interested in hearing about Flock of Seagulls. Like, to me, it was like, why is vanilla the number one flavor? It's like, so yeah. we stuck to our guns until that singer quit because we couldn't get a record deal. And you'll find out about that in the book and how that went down. And I applied all that to Motley Crue. But to answer your question, I saw Tommy play in a band called Sweet 19. And I go, that's that guy. And I got a hold of Tommy, and Tommy had been a fan of that other band, London. We met, started showing him these songs. Now, some of the songs I had been writing and been showing to my other band, London, they didn't like them. They were too heavy. It's like, we need to be more poppy. We got to make the record companies happy. It makes me laugh because no record company believed in us. And so we own all of our recordings, which we were just able to do this massive
wow.
deal with BMG because no record company believed in us.
That's incredible.
I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. So then Tommy, we looked literally in a magazine called the Recycler Magazine. That's where you would find bass players, drummers, saxophones, used cars, vacuum cleaners. It was the Recycler. It was recycling. And it was an ad, said loud, rude, aggressive guitar player, Mick Mars. That guy showed up and we were like, there's the next piece of the puzzle. And then we started looking for singers, which is really the hardest part because there's a lot of really great singers out there.
Yeah.
Amazing singers. But sometimes they're just great singers and they don't have Johnny Rotten's fire or Steven Tyler's desire. And we had this guy for a while and we were working and he was difficult to work with. He wouldn't really follow direction. I had very clear ideas. And we were recording these two songs, Stick to Your Guns, which ended up on Too Fast for Love, the original, and another song called Toast to the Town. And so we ended up firing the guy during those recordings. And Tommy knew this guy, Vince Neil, and Vince was in a band called Rock Candy. And Vince was like, no, I got this other band. They were like a top 40 band playing backyard parties. And I guess the band, he showed up and the band members had all cut their hair because they wanted to get a record deal. And they wanted to be like the Knack. And it was about getting the record deal. It wasn't about the passion. And so Vince came down and met us. I remember I handed him the lyrics to Livewire. And I'm like, this is kind of how it goes. Mix, this is the riff. We were working on stuff. And that moment is that moment in the movie.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he came down with that girl and she's like, you know, trying to tell us. And as soon as tell us what to do and it's too loud and all this stuff. I remember how funny it was because I never like really care what anybody else thinks. And I was like, I know what's happening right here. Mick Mars, Tommy Lee, Nikki Sixx, if this guy's the guy, and when he bit down on those lyrics, man, I was like, now this is fucking magic. This is fucking magic, and the rest is history. But what a fluke. I mean, is that an intervention from God? Or is it just pure, you got a horseshoe up your ass? I don't fucking know.
That's incredible. I love many things about that story, but one of the things that I think is so great is that you had these other things going that could have gone somewhere, but it didn't really scratch the itch for you. And you, I think that takes a lot of balls to walk away from something that has potential, but you're just like, nah, I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah. What do you call that? Blind faith, intuition, stupidity. I don't know. I still don't believe in backing down from what you believe in.
Yeah.
But I also am not stupid enough just to think, oh, I'm in this band Motley Crue and we've been around for 40 years and toured the world. And so I can hire some author and he can write a book and I can like read it, go, yeah, it's close enough and stick it out. Like when it's like my fourth book and each book has been a New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
Because I put the work in, you know. So every idea that you have is another opportunity for you to grow, and hard work is the only way I've ever known to grow, to be honest with you.
And I also asked Nikki what it felt like to stand on stage and have thousands of people collectively lose their shit when you hit an opening chord. And here's how he describes that.
Let our animal instinct lead the way. Then you get in a studio, like in our case with Bob Rock on the Dr. Feelgood album, and he pushes us and pushes us and pushes us. He says to me, you got to go rewrite the lyrics. I know you're better than this. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to kill this guy. And he was right. And then you stand on stage and you're like, gong, 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 gong. And you watch everybody
erupt.
And you're like, I remember the moment when Tommy was like, can you just play that open chord? Just let me put a beat behind it. And it all goes back to, wow, everybody's like, you know, on the same page.
It's
fucking rad, man. It's not about look at me, look at me. It's like, look at us.
Okay, turn down the volume and go to bed. Snack time is over. Hey, if you enjoyed this, please subscribe to How Success Happens. You'll get an earful of inspiration twice a week. This show and our main show, which drops every Wednesday. And heck, if you want even more of me in your life, be sure to check out my Substack. This should be fun. Also, hey, you like music, you like listening to people talk about music, you like listening to music, then check out the makers of the theme song of this here show, Nika RPM. You can find them over on Bandcamp. And hey, we have some other great guests coming up for the new shows. Elvira, Mistress of the Night, is coming up soon. So do you got a spooky question for her? Send it to howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com and I will ask it no matter how stupid it is. And if she yells at me, it's your fault. Okay, that's it for the show. We'll see you next time.